going to tell you a bit about our lab's model organism, which is the tsetse fly, as well as some of its associated microorganisms. So this is a picture of the tsetse fly. It's distributed throughout sub-Saharan Africa, and it's of medical and veterinary importance because it's the sole vector of African trypanosomes, and these cause sleeping sickness in human and nagana in domesticated animals. So while only a small percentage of flies actually carry trypanosomes, every single individual carries microbial endosymbionts. And there's three that we know of for sure, maybe more. The first is called Wigglesworthia glossinidius. It's an obligate microbe that lives within, it's an intracellular bacteria that lives within cells of an organ called the bacteriome. And this is located immediately adjacent to tsetse's midgut. The second is called Sodalis, and it is a commensal organism, and its tissue trophism is quite a bit broader. It's found mainly in tsetse's hemolymph, but it's also intracellular and extracellular within midgut tissue, reproductive tissue, salivary gland tissue, and probably elsewhere also. And then finally, certain populations of tsetse also harbor Wolbachia. And Wolbachia is localized exclusively to tsetse's reproductive system. So the research I want to tell you about today, the main objective of this was to try and understand some mechanisms that allow these symbiotic bacteria to live the lifestyle they do. And I chose to focus on Sodalis as my symbiont of choice for a few reasons. First of all, it's very closely related to several free-living pathogens. Its genome is sequenced and annotated, and from this information, we learn that several immunogenic domains of Sodalis' cell membrane, which include outer membrane protein A, which I'll call OMPA from here on, lipopolysaccharide and O antigen are either modified, truncated, or missing completely from the chromosome. And also this bacteria can be cultured in vitro and genetically modified with relative ease. All right, so the first question I wanted to ask was, how does tsetse respond to a superinfection with its own symbiont, Sodalis, versus a foreign microbe? And the microbe I used is E. coli K12. So in order to answer this question, I had to be able to track the recombinant bacteria, track the bacteria I was infecting with. So what I did was I designed a construct that makes luciferase, and it's under the control of Sodalis' insulinase gene, which is constitutively expressed. And what I did was then I took these recombinant strains and I injected equal numbers of bacteria into distinct groups of tsetse, and then I was able to monitor relative light unit expression per fly and determine how many cells are there. And if you're interested in more details of that assay, I'm happy to tell you about it later. It takes too long here. So I injected my flies. Here are the results. Sodalis, as expected, basically grew linearly within tsetse. It kind of reached a peak density of about 1 × 10^5 cells per fly on day 12, kind of leveled out. That's 16. I don't know what happened. It's actually supposed to be day 21. Now, on the other hand, if you look at the E. coli, they kind of took off out of the gate, multiplied very quickly, and you can see my data points end at day 8. Now, this is not because all the bacteria were gone, but quite very surprisingly, all the flies I injected died. You can see also there's two lines for each group. That just, I repeated the experiment twice, so instead of averaging it, I just showed both data sets. Now this is very surprising because this E. coli, it's E. coli K12, which is normally a non-pathogenic strain. This experiment has been done in several other insect models like Drosophila and Manduca and others, and they're all easily able to clear the infection. So just to confirm my result and in a comparative context, I redid it with female tsetse and male tsetse, and the result was the same in that case. And Drosophila, I did it in Drosophila as well, and they were able to clear their infections. So it's clearly lethal to tsetse, but not a closely related species. So, you know, why is this happening? What is different about Sodalis and E. coli? And I chose to focus, as you recall, when we sequenced the genome, we learned that a lot of these immunogenic components are missing, or truncated, or modified. Now, I chose to focus on outer membrane protein A, mainly because it's the most well-characterized of all of those. This is a picture of it. This is the N-terminal. This is about 200 amino acids of the N-terminus. It forms 8 beta barrels in the cell membrane of the bacteria, which are connected by 4 exposed loops. And interestingly, several bacteria are dependent on this for their pathogenicity, including Leptospira, Neisseria, Salmonella, E. coli. Without this protein, these bacteria lose their virulence. Now, with E. coli, there was a nice study published, I think it was in 2000, where they showed that loops 1 and 2 specifically were the virulent epitopes in pathogenic E. coli. So what I did was I took the amino acid sequences of these proteins from several bacteria, the first 3 being symbiotic bacteria. The top is Sodalis from Tetsi. The second one is SOAP, which is a primary endosymbiont of a weevil. And the third is Serratia, which is a symbiont in aphids. And if you look at the loop structures, which are, if you look at the loop structures, which are underlined, you can see that in the symbionts, there are either amino acid substitutions or insertions in all cases. And based on this, we hypothesize that dissimilarities in these loops may be what permit host tolerance of symbiosis in Tetsi. So I just went on to try and confirm this hypothesis. The first thing I did was I got a mutant strain of E. coli that is unable to express outer membrane protein A, and I infected my flies with it. And lo and behold, this is represented by the top lines here. These tetsi were infected with this mutant strain following an initial period of mild virulence, or however you want to term it. The flies were either able to deal with their infection or clear the infection. And I subsequently determined, although the data's not here, they're actually able to clear the infection. The bacteria disappear. Now, the wild-type parent strain, which is also a K12 strain, again, was, in fact, virulent to the flies. So the next question I asked was, all right, if I express E. coli's outer membrane protein A in Sodalis and infect the flies, what happens then? So again, the mutant E. coli are not lethal to Tetsi. So I designed another construct, again using the constitutive insulinase promoter, which drove the expression of E. coli's native OMP A protein. And I quickly found out that the OMP A antibody I had cross-reacted with both Sodalis and E. coli's outer membrane protein. So I had to remake the construct. I used overlap PCR to put a T7 epitope into the fourth outer loop of the OMP A protein, and then went ahead with my experiments. You can see from this antibody staining diagram that the Sodalis these are just cultured cells here. The Sodalis transformed with the E. coli outer membrane protein A do in fact express the protein, while the control strain, which is the luciferase strain I used before, do not. Now, arguably more important are the Western blots. Here's cultured cells again. The recombinant protein is the correct size, the native protein being 37 KD. But most importantly, I collected hemolymph from many, many, many flies, and I was able to do a Western blot from that and show that it was in fact being, the bacteria are surviving and they are in fact producing the protein. So kind of the piece de resistance of the work I did here was when I infected flies with this strain of Sodalis that produces the E. coli outer membrane protein A. That's shown here. These symbionts in effect became pathogenic and they were able to kill Tetsi. I repeated the experiment many times. It worked the same way every time. I also use these Sodalis to infect E. coli or to infect Drosophila, and the Drosophila again were able to survive to withstand the infection, and heat killed Sodalis that expressed E. coli Ampe also were not virulent to tsetse. So that was a very interesting find for us. So in conclusion, even though Sodalis and E. coli are very closely related microbes, infection with E. coli is lethal to tsetse, but not very closely related bacteria. And it appears that outer membrane protein A is crucial in defining these virulent and symbiotic phenotypes, at least in the tsetse model system. And then just some work we're doing now is we're trying to figure out, you know, what is it with tsetse that makes it susceptible to these, to E. coli, but, you know, and obviously not its own bacteria. And to do this, we're just doing some expression studies of immunity and apoptosis-related genes. So I'd just like to thank all of the people I work with, Dr. Axoy, who's the PI in my lab, and all of the postdocs and grad students, Dr. Thomas Wood, who provided the mutant E. coli, and then NIH for funding the work I do. Thank you.
Got time for a couple of questions? Anyone with questions?
Dana?
Yeah, it does. Well, it's definitely involved in secretion of all sorts of things, but not in binding. Not, I don't think, not that I found. But all, it, you know, it's a, it forms a channel in a lot of bacteria and lots of substances pass in and out. So.
But I wonder. So I wonder if it's the Dallas.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
Steve?
Where were you injecting
bacteria? Into the thorax.
So
yeah, into the hemocele. So I know based on what Dana said. But the, so for our immunity experience, we're going to have to rethink it. But Sodalis lives in the hemolymph mainly. So that's why we do it. For the it was either or, yeah. We didn't inject. Wait. Well.
Were they apoxin biotic?
No, they weren't apoxin biotic.
So they had regular.
Yeah, they had regular Sodalis in them already, but they weren't. I'm in which experiment are you referring to with the E. coli, Ampe or? Oh, yeah, we didn't do the wild type for that.
Yeah. Okay, we need to move on. Thank you.
Sure.